Welcome to the Grim Gets Real podcast, the show for people who want to maximize their marketing potential. My name is Katya, and I am your host on this exciting journey as we talk to our experts who join us, from influencer marketing to e-commerce strategy and everything in between. Each episode will feature industry experts that share their insights and provide actionable tips to help you achieve your marketing goals. So put your AirPods in, turn up the volume, and get ready for our guest today, Rayhan Pereira. Ray, thank you so much for joining us on the Grin Gets Real podcast. I'm really excited to have you in as a guest as we were chatting before we started recording.
Thank you so much for having me as well. It's great to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's, you know, dive into it. I'd love it if you could share a little bit about who you are and what One Dash is, because it definitely is going to play into the conversation.
Yeah, sure. So from my background myself, I am an entrepreneur. I started off working as an engineer in oil and gas industry, had a, you know, 10-year track record there, and then kind of woke up to what we were doing to the planet and decided that I didn't want to do that anymore. So I left the industry. And I went into technology and into angel and VC investing after that for quite some time before I started One Dash. And One Dash is basically a solution that we came up with when we realized how much smaller brands needed to spend on their marketing's, exponential spending on their marketing throughout the journey of a new brand. And how they have to compete against some of these bigger companies. The reason that we decided to go into using video as a medium and then taking video and making that into a monetized solution was because we feel it's the most emotional form of marketing. You know, you can get your message out there in a much more concise way. And I think, you know, in terms of the way that marketing is gravitating towards video in the future, that would be the right space for us to be in. So that's how we all started this journey.
That makes sense. The old adage, content is king. I definitely believe content is king and video is trying to take over the monarchy for sure.
Yeah.
Well, in the things that I've read, you've mentioned that marketers need to make smarter choices when it comes to using social media. What does that look like when you say that?
I think it's in the way that social media is being portrayed today, especially when you look at all the multitudes of industries that have been created from social media in influencer marketing. I think using a lot of analytical information to back up what decisions you make for clients and how you want to distribute a decision. And there needs to be something concrete behind that. It can't just be that, oh, I've got this, this pool of influencers, or I've got this kind of, you know, links to these various channels, and this is the exposure that you're going to get, and that's going to translate into X amount of sales. I see so much advertising around that kind of promise, and it's very rare that, somebody actually makes it a reality for a brand. And I think that's one thing that we really focus on a lot is, okay, if there is an influencer, for example, who has 200,000 followers on Instagram, and what they want to do is they say they'll promote themselves as being, you know, the go-to person for this particular type of industry or product. Does that translate into sales for the brand? And the analytics that we give, independent of analytics from the platforms themselves, are real-time analytics into how performance is doing. Now, you're leaving your future very much up to the style of how influencers or particular marketers are promoting themselves on social media. And the dynamic is different, right? What a marketer is going to do on a native platform for you, or what they're going to do in a print publication or editorial publication, it's all going to be so different when it also comes down to what they'll do for you on social media. And you want to bring the entire strategy together using much more informed decisions before you actually go to market, and being able to come to a client and say, look, I'm going to do this for you, and this is how my past results look like in real time, and this is exactly what the exposure was, and translated into sales in real time, that's much more powerful, and that's much more conducive to getting like this really long-term partnership going. I think the future of social media is in the hands of influencers, and I think I really love the fact that that has exploded. But I think it's going to go the way of public relations as well. You know, there was a time when PR went that route of, okay, if you spend X amount of a retainer with us, we're going to deliver 2 million, 3 million eyeballs on your, you know, advertising every month. And then brands simply just assume that, yeah, that's going to translate into X amount of sales. It didn't, right? And a lot of companies get called out for that. And a lot of the big PR companies, which, you know, exploded in the 90s and early 2000s, they collapsed quite quickly when social media came out, specifically because of that. How do you quantify, right, results? And now with the amount of competition that's coming out on social media exposure, you need to be able to quantify and be able to give a predetermined strategy that's going to work before you go out into the market.
I think that you hit the nail on the head, because I have a bit of a PR background, and you are always kind of battling. It's proving that it is working. And I like the connection that you've made on how PR is, you know, I don't want to say dying, but I definitely don't want to say dying, but how social media has definitely taken a big step up from that. But when it comes to looking at or quantifying it, what do you advise people to look for when you say that? Is it, if it's not followers, is it eyeballs? Is it reach? Is it one metric? Is it many metrics? Like, what should we look at to be able to analyze whether it is working or not?
I think it's about also making sure that you're well informed about what tools are out there at the moment. You know, let's take interactive video, which is something that we really focus on ourselves. What we do is, you know, you take that point where an influencer creates their content. They give you this beautiful piece of content. And now, let's say you're going in for Instagram stories and you're running campaigns across, let's say, 5 days of that, different pieces of content for 24 hours. How is that going to translate into sales for me? How's it going to work? You've got such a limited amount of time to make that impact. Now, I think as a brand, first of all, and for whichever marketing strategies you have, whether it's in-house, whether you're working with external companies, or whether you're outsourcing your influencers, etc., know what is out there and available for you to use as tools. When social media came out, one of the biggest explosions that we had was you had social media listening tools, which came out. Uh-huh. And there's such amazing tools out there today for you to be able to utilize, for you to look at, all right, if I run campaigns with this particular group of marketers and influencers, you know, I have the tools to actually listen and see who was doing what and interacting with those particular pieces of information. And on top of that, for tools that we provide, such as direct shopping from a piece of content. So if an influencer releases something on social media, being able to directly purchase those goods and items is such a great testament to how effective that influencer was in their message. It's also great gratification for the influencer themselves, right? Because a lot of it is cutting the journey down. We live in that, you know, society right now where we need to make the journey as short as possible. We don't want to waste time. So if I'm looking at a piece of content for influencers, I see what they're able to do. I see how they can just bring that product directly to me. I'm going to go for that. It's not so much that I have a link in the bio and then I need to go to this other website. I need to go to this other page. I need to find out whether the item is there. The influencer might have done such an amazing job that by the time I get there, it's out of stock anyway, right? So, you know, how do I avoid all of that stuff? And I think that's the thing. People need to keep in touch and on top of the tools that are coming out as soon as possible and then utilizing those tools. And in today's world, getting that information and being able to do that is super accessible. No?
Yeah, it's removing the friction points, right, between the consumer and the brand. I'm a avid social shopper. I'm like the right demographic. I swipe up, I click on it, I go back to it. So anything to make it easier. You know, before we got online, we were talking about the connection of influencers and how to use their content and really leverage it from a brand perspective. And like I said, I think that video is going to take over the monarchy. What are ways that we can utilize video with influencers? How can we make that very symbiotic and then really leverage it to the most?
From what we have seen and what we do at OneDash, I think, let's give you an example. I think it would be better to do an example. So We recently did a campaign with Marie Claire and Amazon. And I think one of the things that was most interesting was what kind of content that was created was most effective with depending on what type of product, right? So I think horses for courses, as they say. So you're going to want to utilize multiple different campaigns and influencers in different types of settings in order to get the most impact for what you're going for. It just really depends on what your brand strategy is at that point in time. For example, if you're a travel-based, if it's a travel-based campaign, and you know you're simply sending an influencer out into, you know, you're sponsoring them to go out to this particular area to stay at this, you know, particular hotel, etc., and that is the main point of the campaign. It's not enough anymore. You know, people want to know much more detail. They want to be able to kind of garner that information immediately. So imagine if your influencer campaign was that much more interactive. They were able to kind of insert calls to action immediately. As soon as you see something that you know grabbed your interest, you clicked on those calls to action, and you were then given even more information directly into your email address. And because you know participated in that journey and you gave your email address, or you kind of you know facilitated a little bit more for the brand, you were then incentivized as a prospective you know traveler to get even more benefits. And I think those are the kind of things that need to be utilized today. There's just so much information and tools to be given that we miss out on the fact that an influencer has so much more power if they're using the right tools. And that's the way that I would do these kind of campaigns today.
So make the video more interactive and engaging, almost bringing that consumer into the experience, which really lends into experiential marketing, right? You want them to be part of the brand and you want to be able to listen to their voice. And I almost think using influencers is like that medium to get to them, right? Like this is already an engaged audience, you know. How can we leverage that to the most? Do you see that there is, especially with so much video going on, what are your thoughts on all of the new things coming out? And then also the other forms, right? Like, so we've got IGTV and we've got Reels and we've got stories and we've got things that disappear, things that you can, you know, pin and highlight. Would you say like, try and test them all? Is there more to expand from a social media platform perspective that you see just kind of building in the future?
Yeah, that's another thing that we're noticing. I mean, sad to say, but a lot of the big platforms right now are kind of piggybacking off of each other's features, which is something that is getting a little bit difficult for somebody to say, all right, so where am I going to put this? You know, where am I going to position myself? Is it Instagram? Is it, you know, are we going to use Reels? Are we going to use IGTV to really get this out there? Is it Snap? Is it, you know, TikTok, which is a very dynamic and new medium? And then again, we're seeing a completely different demographic, depending on where you go. Facebook has a demographic, Instagram has a demographic. And TikTok has, you know, just like the most varied demographic that we've known in 2020 as a platform. So again, brand strategizing, I think that's very much up to the message that you're looking to go for. You know, I do a lot of my reliance and a lot of my research on what Instagram is doing at the moment. They are definitely the leaders in that aspect. I know that there are innovative platforms out there which do, you know, special and different things, but in terms of the reach and in terms of the accessibility and the way that things are kept, you know, up to date, I think Instagram is a good platform to look at. But I can't make a direct comment except for saying that whatever your brand message is, it needs to fall into understanding exactly what the platform is good for. Understand what the demographic is there, who they are, what the message is all about. If it's, you know, something on a different level with professionalism, et cetera, there are influencers even on LinkedIn. I mean, it's amazing to see that you get some very, very powerful, very knowledgeable influencers on LinkedIn, but you're going for a completely different message there. You know what I mean? It's more on an educational basis. It's much more clinical if you look at whatever is happening on influencing on LinkedIn. You go into Twitter, and that is also a very, you know, different type of message that you're sending out into those. So have a very varied strategy, but make sure that you're approaching the right demographic when you're doing it. Make sure that the influencer that you're using is also, or a group of influencers that you're using is also tailored towards those demographics. You know, like you said, you want that connection to be there. Yeah. Before, it was about looking at an influencer's lifestyle per se, and then you say, I make a connection with this person because I aspire to this person, or, you know, they're really speaking a message that I believe in. Or it could be anything within that realm. But at the same time, bringing in additional layers of interactivity, bringing in additional layers of being able to communicate your message or the message that you want to receive, that is something that is still missing. And I think that is the way to set yourself apart, no matter what platform you're going on, is can you give that extra added value in your message that you're doing as an influencer to the people that you're trying to reach?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd also say that from a marketing perspective, you kind of have to always be testing. You don't know necessarily what's going to work, especially with how quickly everything is evolving. Maybe Reels is the way to go for what you're doing on Instagram, and it's less about your feed and more about what you're doing and how you're engaging with your audience using that platform. Now, going back to just kind of, I'd love to get your thoughts on whether or not you think that video marketing in general is going to expand because of the pandemic and the need for people to be more creative because we've got more eyes on social. I mean, we're all quarantined at home more. I mean, even if you weren't on social before, you're more than likely going to be on social now. So how do you think that video marketing is going to play into that? More eyes on social.
I definitely think 2021 is going to be, we're going to see an explosion in video. And, you know, from even the larger marketing agencies that we're talking to, they're really gearing up to get ready for mass exposure on video. So what we're going to see is definitely an explosion on how video is being utilized. I think we're going to see a different type of video that's being used. I don't think it's going to be the standard stuff that we're used to seeing. I think it's going to open up the doors and we're going to see, you know, much more personal based dioramas on how people are approaching brands, whether they're using, you know, their opinions on it, how they're interacting with products more and kind of, you know, being able to give very honest, unbiased opinions about these products. Yeah. I'm hoping to see a lot more of that. And then, you know, how people are putting these products with the right videographers is another one. You know, we're not able to go out into the public right now and do these beautiful editorial style videos that we usually would love to see. And, yeah. You know, One Dash was built primarily for editorial, but we're seeing that, you know, a huge range of influencers who just want to do these amazing, very candid, very honest videos, and then be able to put people in touch with those products immediately. That's something that's coming up a lot. And I think that's the type of video that we're going to be seeing. Yeah.
Do you think it's because of the pandemic that we're craving this human connection? So yeah. The fact that you're on video makes me feel like I'm talking to someone. It's so much more engaging than just a picture of, you know, an influencer using a particular product, right?
Yes, it's that human connection. I think we've been robbed of that this year. You know, we've been robbed of, you know, it's even the fact that, you know, the feeling, right? You go into a shopping space and stuff. And even if you're not there to buy anything, it's just that energy that you miss, you know, and
yes,
feed off that energy. And we don't have that anymore. So I think we're going to be seeing that coming through on video. We're going to be seeing that really passionate, you know, exposés from various people. And that's how they're going to be selling video. I mean, that's being done. If you look at areas of the world where populations are massive, take China, take India, etc., that's been done for a very long time because it's impossible to reach a billion people just on the basis of traditional marketing in an area of the world where you've got just a billion people to reach and you want to get your product out there. Video has been the largest proponent of that. And it's live streaming video. It's having that connection and really gathering a following for this live streamer and seeing how they, you know, expose a product, how they interact with it. You would need to take it with a pinch of salt in certain instances because they are now being paid extremely heavily. So you could see a lot of biased reviews on some products, but that human connection is what really brings people to the table there.
Yeah, and I think that a way to get that unbiased sort of review and human connection is to really identify influencers that have a brand affinity for you, right? Like, you're not paying them to say something. They genuinely would say it. There's just kind of, there could be the added bonus of like just having the commission or perhaps being paid, but maybe they just want the product because they love it so much. And that's the ideal influencer that you want for sure. I'm interested in hearing your thoughts on the length of a video. So let's just say it's a standard video.
Yeah.
What do you constitute as long form? And I'm using my quotation marks because I feel like anytime you Google something like that, it's anywhere from like 1 minute to 20 minutes. I mean, that's a really broad stroke. So I'm curious, based on like just kind of what you've seen come across, is there a sweet spot for a video length, or is it more about the content of that video and the purpose of it?
Yeah, we've noticed some interesting stuff when it comes to the analytics that we see. A couple of interesting examples would be we'll take a fashion related example. If you've got a video where you're trying to showcase more than 2-3 products at the same time. Mm-hmm. One thing that we've noticed is from the time that you introduce the largest form product, let's say it's a dress, from the time that somebody sees that product to the time that they want to interact with that product or basically click on that product and get more information or buy that product, we see anywhere between 3 and 7 seconds being the sweet spot there, where people will really take the time to discover this product. And the brain registers, okay, there's something else going on here. We want to take a look at this. I'm interested. In terms of going into then looking at other products within the offering and going deeper into that, anywhere up to 25 seconds for a video is usually perfect, nothing more than that. So if you're talking about something that you're, delivering on stories or something that you're delivering on social media, that you're able to kind of break the attention span by giving them more information, by giving them an activity to do, 25 seconds is good. If it's just a video without any interaction rates or anything to do there, less than that,
sure.
The attention span doesn't go very long because as soon as they see something, they know whether they want to explore that more or not. So, you need to send that message in less than 20 seconds, definitely, if you're talking about that. Now, if it's experiential stuff, food, if you're talking about travel, if you're talking about hotels, etc., luxury industry, or something that's just breaking, something new, something that they've never seen before, you're going over. You they want to feed off that information. They want more. You're looking at more like a minute. I'd never go more than that. I've never seen videos that go more than a minute do very well on social media at all. So, IGTV and stuff is good if that is what I'm in the mood for and that's what I'm there for, absolutely.
Yeah.
I need to be there for that. But if I'm cruising through social media and there's something that grabs my eye and it takes me more than a minute to get the information that I want, not happening. So that's what we've noticed a lot. And it also depends on what the product is or what the message is or what the service is that you're going for.
No, that's really great advice. And when you're saying that, I'm picturing, I always try to tie everything back to like the marketing funnel, because that short attention span to really catch people's attention, that 7 seconds, 25 seconds to me seems like very top of funnel. Like, you just want people to see your brand. If you want them to engage further, I almost see like the length of that video going a little bit longer, right? Like, just grab my attention. If I want to find out more, like, tease it out until I get to be the consumer. And now I'm looking at a YouTube video on how to, right? Yeah. Which is probably like the longest type of video. Like, how do I use this? I want to engage with it. So that is really great advice for, especially tying it back to an influencer campaign, right? Like, I think that we have a lot of customers that are like, you kind of get almost a little burnt out of like, what am I supposed to tell this, or what do I ask from this particular influencer? And I think that's really great advice. Like, if they're going to do a story, do it 7 seconds and give them something to engage with, like make them engage with their audience. Like, that's, That's amazing. I love that.
We noticed that when you have a video and you kind of, if you introduce interactivity as well, we noticed that it's kind of like a reset for everybody's attention span. You know, once they open up that interactive hotspot or something that gives them that attention grab, it resets them and they're ready to listen. They're ready to go on for more. And you can kind of build on that exactly like how you said.
Do you have some thoughts on, well, I'm sure you have thoughts on this, how to create the video as an interactive video? Is it, I mean, you just mentioned hotspots, right? And that's definitely something that One Dash does. Let's say I don't have One Dash yet, right? How can I create a video that is interactive with the audience? How do I engage them?
I think there's more than just, screen tapping utilization for interactivity. I think engaging with them on, it needs to be first emotional. That needs to be there, you know? Whether it's product based, whether you're just doing, a showcase of a product, or whether you're doing something that's a real message that's really deep and close to you, it needs to be emotion first. So it needs to inspire. Anything that you do in terms of video, make sure that you're doing it for an inspirational reason, right? And then once you have that attention, once you have them encapsulated in that first 3 to 7 seconds, that's when you need to get the message out there that you want them to take it a step further and go from there. I think, don't forget sound. I wish we were able to utilize sound much more in the platforms that we are. And I can see that happening in the future. We've seen very large moves this year, platforms purchasing, music platforms. So social media platforms actually going into music platforms, picking them up. And there's just plans for that in the future, because people realize how important sound is. For example, we can, in One Dash, we do a system of A/B testing where we can track 3 different types of soundtrack in one video and see how that performs against 3 different demographics of deployment. So, we've realized how important, you can have the same video with 3 soundtracks. You're going to get 3 different approaches and interaction rates with this video, So I think that's another part of it, like engage with them on that level. Really pick how you tune your sound, really pick and make sure that the sound is consistent. Make sure that the music that you pick, make sure you're licensed for it first. But
yeah. That's a good note. Yeah. It's a good tip.
Yeah. But make sure that it really speaks to the message of what you're trying to do, because I see all too often that, people pick a generic piece of music, or they pick something that, it was cheap to license, or it was good to do really quick on the fly. Don't do that. Go deeper into the sound that you utilize and make it engaging. And then at the same time, if you're going to ask them to take it a step further in your message, and you want them to click on the link in bio, you want them to leave you a comment, you want them to do stuff like that. I've noticed that when people do videos and they do a lot of them, when they ask for that last message, it's monotonous. It becomes very normal for them to ask it in the same voice, So change that. It should be that you're speaking to them, not just because you want to request something that you feel they should do, but there's a reason that they are there to hear you, and the message that you want them to leave is pertinent to what you're trying to also portray. So, go deeper into that. I know it's difficult to do when you're doing video after video every day. Some of these influencers are doing videos every single day,
Yeah.
So you kind of lose that emotional standpoint. Don't. That's another part.
Yeah, I could see how you could get exhausted after doing video after video. I record a lot of audio, but we also do a lot of webinars. And what it makes me think of is just kind of that old school thinking from like when you're writing a paper, right? Tell them what you're going to tell them, and then tell them what you just told them, right? Mm-hmm. And to me, it's like each part of those things definitely has to be broken up. Everything kind of has like a formula, but I love that advice too, of like really making it different, because I don't think that a lot of people think through that. Like, all right, I've already said that, I've engaged them enough. Like, don't lose it just as you're at the finish line.
Yeah.
So exactly. For sure. So last question for you, and I'm so excited to have had you here. You've dropped a lot of great knowledge and tips for our audience. And throughout that, you've also indicated some predictions that you have for video. But I'm interested to hear if you have any predictions for social media just in general, especially with in light of the pandemic. Where do you see social media going in 2021?
You know, it's there's a really exciting future for social media and where it's going with regards to video and all the other tools that they portray. One of the things that we would like to kind of utilize and see more of from OneDash's perspective, and you know, things that we write to social media platforms and ask them about, we don't get answers too often too quickly. These platforms are making push into e-commerce. They're making push into various types of, you know, commerce itself. I would say I'd like to see more engaging tools. One of the things that I would have loved to see in a bigger way this year that it should have really taken a front seat for global viewership would have been virtual reality and augmented reality in platforms like Facebook. I know that Facebook has a lot of great tools to be utilized in that perspective, but it's still so far away from what they should and what I would have hoped to have seen from such a powerhouse in social media this year. You know,
yeah.
This would have been the year for them to take the bull by the horns and really say, okay, we're going to take it to the next level with VR, with AR. We're not just going to sit back and kind of ride the storm on that. We're going to lead the way. They didn't. I was really upset about that. And I would have liked to have seen that. You know, we've seen, we had high-level talks with companies like YouTube, et cetera, about their interaction rates and how they utilize video with interactivity and stuff like that. You know, this year got me thinking that we first saw YouTube come onto the scene in 2005, right? Like, that was such a long time ago that we've seen. And has it really changed much in the time that we... No, I really would have liked to have seen them as well, you know, making a bigger push towards competing with the likes of TikTok, with the likes of what's happening with Facebook. But my hope for the future is that social media platforms bring people together in a way like with virtual reality, with augmented reality, and reintroduce that connectivity for people in a situation where if they cannot reach out and just be part of the conversation with people in real time, perhaps we can engage with people in virtual perspectives and we can get information in different ways through that, you know? So for me, slightly disappointing this year with some of the platforms. I would have liked to have seen much more tech build up and a lot more leadership from them in that perspective.
Yeah, I almost think that no one knew really how long this pandemic was going to be. And now at this point, we're living in a new reality. So we're almost going to have to just adjust. And I think that social media is definitely going to have to step up to that. And maybe this is that year where AR and VR do take a big step up because we kind of have to. We have to think outside of the box. We'll get very tired of the same old thing. I think that's also why TikTok has been so popular, right? Like you saw families connect. I mean, like my dog has a TikTok. Both of my dogs have TikToks. Like there's music. There are just so many layers to it that it is very engaging. So I like that prediction for, you know, for 2021, like a little bit more AR, VR. I'll get the word out. I'll post it. Well, Ray, thank you so much for joining us. If you have anything to plug, speak now or forever hold your peace.
No, thank you so much for having me as well. And it's been, you know, just great to chat with you. And I look forward to seeing more of your content online.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
What a fascinating conversation with Ray on video marketing. During this episode, he shares insights on how to execute video marketing, from making a more engaging video on Instagram to leveraging influencers to create those interactive videos. He provides tips on the length and the style of the videos while also providing his thoughts on where video will go in the future. Want to hear more? Be sure to subscribe to Grin Gets Real podcast on Apple or Spotify to get the latest episodes and leave us a review. We want to hear from you. If you're interested in learning more about GRIN, visit our website at grin.co. That's GRIN.co. Until next time, keep grinning.